Comspire, communicate to inspire. And in today's episode, we are so lucky to have Vijay Gautam, who is popular as Vijay Speaks, and he has trained so many podcasters by now. The co-founder of WIN Studio, which helps several brands and individuals across the world in podcasting and marketing their podcast. At present, their company is producing 10 original shows and several other shows for their clients across the world. Vijay also hosts a chart-topping podcast, The Inspiring Talk, ranked as number one under self-help and all categories on Apple Podcasts. The show was a finalist for Asia's Best Podcast title and has over 1 million listens. 20,000 people have attended his podcasting workshops. More than 1,000 students are creating podcasts with him. If you too want to be one among them, join him on his free 90 minutes podcast to profit masterclass at masterclass.vijayspeaks.com. So thank you so much, Vijay sir, for accepting this invitation and coming to this student of yours.
Thank you so much, Anupam. And you know, one of the things that I always tell people is, hey, I would love to interview. And first thing that I say is just, you know, complete at least 25 episodes of your podcast so that at least I can, you know, inspire people to give them one more reason to maybe, you know, just do episodes. Yeah. And here you are at 50, which is commendable. Congratulations, Anupam. You are doing great.
So thank you so much, because it is, as you can understand, the emotion. 58th episode, half a century. And in that, I am interviewing my mentor because of whom I could start podcasting.
Yeah, thank you so much for considering and, you know, having me as a guest. I think it's been a while since I have been on someone's podcast, because lately a lot of my time goes in thinking of new podcast ideas, creating a lot of new shows at Wine Studio. Yeah. So so great to be back on someone's podcast again. So thanks again for having me.
So Vijay, this is how I know you, with the all introduction I have talked about and how I have met you. So you have always motivated with your story. And when I listened to your 100th episode, the inspiring talk, that has given me goosebumps throughout, where Rajiv Talreja has taken your interview on your set.
Yeah.
So, and you have transformed so many lives. But if I ask you, how do you define yourself? How do you introduce yourself?
I think, you know, I've always been, in fact, like an average person, an average guy all my life, right? So, you know, I don't think there's anything, and even today, I genuinely believe that there's nothing special about me. And, you know, I define myself as a hustler, somebody who's just trying to figure things out, who's just trying to, you know, make things happen. Someone who maybe is not afraid to fail and just go out and, you know, who is okay with people criticizing, who is okay with people pointing out the flaws, because I think, you know, after a certain period of time, you have this certain sense of awareness. So, you know, I call myself, you know, hustler who, you know, just go out to make things and, you know, break things, not afraid to, you know, fail. And also, I'm okay with people, you know, pointing out the flaws and people making the statement about me, judging me. So I would say, you know, the way I, you know, define myself is just an average guy trying to make sense of the world and try to, you know, help people in whatever little possible ways, in my own ways, giving, you know, them the power of their voice and, you know, helping them share their message with the world, no matter, you know, how bad they think they are with expressing themselves. But, you know, as long as you have a stronger message, then you got to share it with the world. So I think that's, you know, that's who I am, just an average guy trying to make sense of this world.
Brilliant, sir. The way you tell that I'm an average guy, and you see that you have already reached to so many places by now, taken 119 interviews by now, all the kind of popular personalities we can talk about who are best in their field. We have taken all their interviews. So it was on Insta, your ad was popping up on like free podcast mastery with Vijay Gautam. So at that time, I had already engaged myself, because the pandemic started and I engaged myself in learning as many things as I could. So I thought, okay, it's a free course. Let's see what it is. Mm-hmm. Somehow, because you have fixed a sort of timing, which was a Sunday morning, that's the only timing when I am free. Mm-hmm. So I thought of sitting for 3 hours and listen to you, just to see that what you're telling, if I will like it, I'll listen the whole thing, or I will just leave it. It was anyhow free of cost. But when I started listening to you from the first, very first moment, with the music and the scenario you have made, it was just awesome. I was overwhelmed on your first session, and I thought that I really want to learn from him what he is going to teach. And then you talked about so many things about podcasting and all the things you are giving in throwaway prize. So I said, let's see, we have already been doing so many things. Let's see what it is. And thank you so much. Once I did it, I felt like a pro. Like, I know everything about podcasting now. Whoever asks me, like anyone who comes to me and asks, Anupam, how are you doing? How did you reach so much? Or how did you get 1 million listeners? I said, I didn't do anything extra what Vijay sir has said.
Yeah, absolutely. Super. And I'm so glad that, you mentioned that, you followed everything that I teach. And my intention is just to share as much as I've learned, and so that people don't have to make the mistakes that I have made in the past 4 years of podcasting. Because all I think I'm trying to be is the mentor that I did not have when I wanted to start podcast back in 2017, and the courses offered by the international mentors were definitely way expensive, and I couldn't afford. So, those two things, right? I wanted to be the mentor that I did not have, and also make it affordable for people so that a lot of people can share their message with the world.
That's really brilliant. Amazing. The way you are training the people and sharing your secret formula with all the other people and creating competition for yourself. See, one question which has always intrigued me about the personalities like you. I've heard about many people who have died with their secret formula. They were successful. They didn't want to share it with anyone else. And they just died with their secret formula. But you share it with everyone so openly. So what inspires you from within that you have been doing it and you don't want others to make the same mistakes that you have made?
I think, generally there is nothing called as any secret or anything here. It's just like few lessons that I have learned along the way. And, and the only reason that I want to share it with as many people as possible is because podcasting as a medium, it has completely transformed my life. I was that kid who was working as a research scientist at a pharmaceutical company, and I was stuck. I was stuck that having no clue of what I should be doing next in my life. I have no idea. And then I started interviewing a lot of these people whom I thought, I would never have an opportunity or have an access to. And these people became were kind enough, humble enough to come and share their journey with me, try and help me in every possible way. And that kind of always, stuck with me, where I'm like, hey, you know what? There are so many of these people who are so willing to share everything that they have learned in their life. And eventually, the entire thing about podcast has completely changed my life, from having no clue of what I wanted to do in my life to starting my own business to collaborating with some of the people I could have never imagined, and, collaborating with them. It just has been, journey which I never thought would be possible for me. So I thought this medium is so powerful and it can literally help so many people. And now I want to, share it with as many people as possible and help them. And for me to do that, I did not want people to take 4 years like I did, right? I wanted them to do things much quicker and better. And as I said earlier, I wanted them to learn from the mistakes that I had, and, by sharing everything that I have, learned. So, I think, it comes from the sense, also the part about, like, people feel insecure about sharing their thing and creating more competitors. But in fact, one thing that gives me high is the fact that there are so many people out there who are going out there and creating podcasts, and then who come back and say that, for instance, in your case, you came back saying that, BJ, in the first 90 days of podcasting, I am at 45,000. And that was such a great moment for me as somebody, who have shared my knowledge. And here is someone who went out and actually took the action and has got, 45,000 in the first 3 months. And all I had in the first 6 months of my podcasting journey is just 1,000 listens. And here is someone going out and, learning from me and doing 45,000 in first 3 months, or whether that's the reason of the student like Saloni, who went and in the first in the third month itself, she had this podcast award. And for me to get any wow. sort of that kind of recognition, it took 3 years for any kind of award or recognition or stuff like that. And here is someone who went and got that award in first 3 months itself.
Wow.
It was 3 years when, you know, my show was on finalist, was on the JioSaavn's top podcast of 2020. Mm. And it gives me such a pleasure to see that it was not only my podcast, there was one of my students' podcast as well who won the same award, wow. who won the same title in 2020, right? So I think those are the things that really makes me happy, because I genuinely want people to succeed. And if I genuinely want people to succeed, then you have to give them everything that you know, right? If you give them half information, then you can never see them succeed. That's one part of it, which is I genuinely want people to succeed, and I will try and make everything in my, control and everything that I can do to help that person. So that's one part of it. And the other part of it is, Anupam, let's be honest, there is no dearth of information and knowledge and secrets there.
Yes.
And what's lacking is the people who take action. And even if you give everything to people, you know, there will be very, very few people who will still take action. What I believe is the whole concept about idea is overrated. What really matters is the people who actually take that idea and convert that into action. So I know a lot of things, but, you know, I don't implement everything that I know even when I know that I might succeed at this thing, right? But not everyone uses the knowledge that they have. So there's nothing anybody, you know, should feel insecure about. The more you share, you know, the more you are helping yourself. Like, obviously, you will be helping people, but more than anyone else, you are helping yourself. It only helps you because you are creating more success stories.
So it's again a great lesson for everyone, every listener, sir. Like when you share, you are yourself learning. And one more thing, sir, I would be telling you very honestly, as I am really following most of the things that you are telling, that you have taught, but not everything. And I know very well, if I follow everything, then of course I could have gone further. Yesterday only when I told my mother that I'm going to have a podcast, and she said that, what is it for? What are you going to get in return? I said, everything is not for monetary benefit, something for our mental gratification as well. And I said, if I pay something in this, then maybe I will get in return. Look, I will show you, I'm not even using that proper mic. It's simple mic, that YouTube mic that I'm using. You said that proper mic, if you're using, that sound effect will be there. If I'm paying to Buzzsprout, then again, more effect will be there. But I'm not doing any sort of financial thing in this. So how can I think of earning anything? So what I'm trying to tell, sir, if we really follow, like you are telling about Insta handles, managing it properly, using some proper clips of our audio and then sharing. I'm not doing any of those things, though I know. So he said very well, sir, that even no. I am not following all the things that I know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think, you know, today, like, you know, the content and the idea and the knowledge, it's out there, and what lacks is people actually going and taking action on that. Action. So
for that, I will give you again that credit. You make the people to take action. The way you are taking all your students on Tuesday and taking out your time, I know how much busy you might be when you are devoting your whole time in podcasting and marketing. We do know that how busy the people are. Still, you get time for your students to meet them on every Tuesday and talk about their problems, talk about their credits, talk about all their achievements. That's the best thing any teacher can do, sir. Because I'm also a teacher, so I can understand how it might be feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as I already said, I try and be of as much as service as possible, for the people. So, I remember, and I remember, you know, when I was just getting started with my own podcast, there were these few people who were very kind enough who started podcast way back in 2007-08. And I just gave them a call randomly and said that, hey, I saw that, you know, you guys had started podcast way back. And, I had these silly questions. Where do I get the music from? What mic should I use? How should I record the person remote? And those people, they didn't know who I was. They picked up my call and they responded to this guy who says that who wants to start a podcast, who has no clue about it. And I just picked up the call and, you know, they picked up, I called them and they picked up the call and they just answered all the questions that I had. And, you know, I have met those really, you know, supportive people along my way who have dedicated their time, who have given their resource and energy to help me figure out things that I wanted to learn in this journey. So I think it becomes, in a way, my responsibility to now give back and try and help people by addressing those silly questions that they have when they're just getting started, which is completely understandable. So I think, you know, that's how I think about it. And also, the other thing is, you know, I learn a lot because, you know, when you are in this process of, you know, creating something, then you also do a lot of research and you might have the different perspective to share. And when I'm interacting either from the questions people ask or from something that somebody share on those calls that I do, I'm learning a lot because I get some insight there. I get something, I understand something. And also that helps me, you know, think like, hey, what is it that I could have made it easier for them so that I could have possibly avoided that question? Not in the wrong way that I could have avoided that question, but in like, how I could have made it easier so that, you know, that question would have never come to them, that they would have easily, you know, done that stuff. So, you know, so my whole thing is about just simplifying things. So, and, you know, that's the core that remains at the core of everything that I do, which, you know, which is it has to be simple, you know, and everything revolves around the simplicity. And because you have gone through the course yourself and you see how simple it is. And and even at the wine studio, the company that I run today, and whenever we are creating the processes and system, when I work with a lot of our audio engineers and producers and social media team and everything, so we create a simple processes. And the first principle of that, like, is it should be simple for everyone to simple enough for everyone to understand and follow, even if they have no clue about what that task is. So, you know, so I think that kind of remains is the one of the basic principle which I implement. I try and implement in all the parts of my life as well, where try to simplify as much as possible, because most of the things in the world are simple. It's just that, you know, we overcomplicate them. We don't understand.
Yeah. It's the same thing as you say. None of the questions are easy or difficult. It's all about our understanding and whether we know about it or not. So right now, when I have started, I didn't know about podcasting. I thought about a unique term. What is this podcasting? And I only knew about few of the radio channels, Pocket FM and all, audiobooks, Audible. But it was very different. And then I dwelled into it, understood more and more because of all the efforts that you're taking. Now, Vijay, you have started your journey in 2017. And since then, you said that you have transformed your life the way you knew that what you have to go with, where is your dream, what you need to take. So all these things now you have understood. But there was a time when you were criticized, you started your journey, were struggling a lot. And that also you have shared in your 100th episode of The Inspiring Talk. That was really incredible. I really cried after listening to that. That how this man has started and where he has reached, who has given so many professional talks and reached to BlogX, gone for international conferences. So this is all incredible. So right now, how do you see yourself from starting as a struggler? And right now you really achieved what you wanted.
You know, I'm just trying to put my thoughts together on how I actually feel about it, because I really don't think that, oh, you know what, oh, I have accomplished now and I have reached all of that stuff. But one thing, you know, that I often think about, and which is something that I'm lately thinking a lot about, is I remember when I was at my college, you know, in 2010-11, I used to ask myself, hey, what would an ideal life look like for me? And the kind of imagination of the ideal life that would come on my head during that time was, hey, you know what, in my ideal world, in my ideal life, I would be doing the work that I love. And today I do that, which is, you know, I love talking about podcasting, creating podcasts, talking with a lot of creators and sharing the message, essentially the core of it. Like the podcast is a tool, but at the end of it is I love sharing and telling stories and either educating, inspiring, or entertaining audience, right? That's the objective here, right? So, and I'm doing that, which is the first one, like, you know, I would do the work that I love doing. And the second thing, you know, was that I will have time for myself where I would either be reading or either I would be, either I would be just learning or meditating. I'll have a lot of time for myself to do all of that stuff. And I get fair amount of time to do that as well, where, you know, every morning I just try to read a few pages and, you know, I try to meditate and just be with myself for, at least a few minutes. So that's taken care of. And the other thing was like, you know what, I'll have my own place where, you know, in the sense, like I'll have a space where it's like a big enough. And the reason I think, you know, when I look back that came was because most of our life, we are the family of four, and most of our life we have grown in a single room. And yes, even when I was at the college and even when I was at my first job, you know, all my family, like me, my sister, my dad, all of us were living in a single room. Yes, and it was the same room where my mom would cook, where, you know, I would record my podcast. That's where actually I started my podcast. That's where, you know, we would leave. And that's why I think, you know, I had this, like, you know, in my ideal world, I'll have a space for myself. Even though it's not the space that I own, but I'm happy that, you know, I have this beautiful space for where I get to feel myself and be creative and stuff like that. So that's taken care of. And also another important thing when I was asking myself what my ideal world would look like is like, I would have, I would be making impact on people's life and constantly giving back to the people where, people would come back and say that, hey, you know what, BJ, what you have shared is really, really helping me on my journey, helping me take my life a step further in whatever way it is. And I think I'm doing that in the bits and pieces as well. And I was reading this book by Deepak Ramola, one of the people whom I have interviewed on my podcast. Mm-hmm. And he has this book called 50 Toughest Questions in Life. And that book is all about, like, he has got 50 questions that, you know, that you ask yourself, and deep, reflective, powerful questions. And one of the questions in that book, which I resonated a lot with, was, did you not always know that you are going to end up here? Think about that for a second. Did we not all know that we are going to end up here? Anupam, did you not know when you were starting a podcast, putting a lot of hard work, that you are going to at one point of time have 100,000 people listening to your podcast, or maybe talking to all these different incredible people and sharing your message with the world?
Yes, sir.
And that question, you know, when I think about it, and that was the time when I even, you know, reflected on this whole thing, when, you know, I read that question, did you not always know that you are going to land up here? And then it instantly took me back to that college days when I would think that, you know what, this is what my ideal life would look like. And gosh, I always knew that this is where I'm going to land. I always knew, because that was something that I always told myself what my ideal world will look like, right? So that's, you know, a bit of a backstory on how this journey has been for me. Now, what I think today is obviously then, you know, it's always you want to do more and more and, you know, make more and more impact. Now it's all about trying and sharing as many stories as possible, which can help people move forward in their life, maybe get that a little bit of that inspiration, or get that education that they require, or get that a bit of a laughter if they're going through the bad phase in their life. So I think now at Wine Studio, where I see all of us at this crazy team that we have at Wine Studio, is to take this to the next level, where push boundaries in the storytelling and try and bring the experience of great audio storytelling to my listener and listeners, and also learning more and more, as much as I can learn about, you know, audio as a medium, and how we can really take the experience of our listeners to the next level, create better stories, try different formats, which possibly, you know, a lot of people would say that we don't want to, you know, try, or because it's too complex to do that, just try and do that. So I think it's more about, you know, doubling down on what I'm already doing.
So I know you as an incredible speaker. There is no doubt in that, sir. You are a brilliant speaker. And above all, I feel that you are an inspiring, amazing mentor as well. So when we talk about you, like, you are always busy with all your things. Now, just now you talked about reading books and you want to spend time reading books. So what's your favorite time? Like, do you love to listen to the music or just read as much as you can?
So, you know, and also this interesting thing about reading as well, you know, and now my excuse to not being able to read as much as I would like is that, hey, you know what? The best way to learn is by having conversations with people where, you know, you can condense all of their life lesson in that 1 hour long conversation where you can get the way they think about it and, you know, their vision and life purpose and so on and so forth and what they really truly believe in and what the message is. So I've realized that I learn much better by having conversations with people, asking questions, trying and understanding and trying and decoding the journey of the people. That's one. And also I love, you know, reading the books. I love, you know, I love, I've realized that I can't read it much on the Kindle or on the digital version. I'm still, even though I'm like more of a millennial, but I'm still like one of those people, you know, who still love to have the time with the physical book and, you know, just to mark, make a lot of notes on it and, you know, highlight it and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, I still, even though like I don't get to read as much as as much as I would like to read, but I mean, I think just sitting down and reading, and when I pick some really good book and I just want to finish it off. So yeah.
That's brilliant. And it's indeed true. Even I am like that auditory person who loves to interact with people, and that I have learned from you only. Again, the credit goes to you. When I started podcasting, I kept on interacting with all the kind of, you are the 58th person with whom I'm interacting. So you can just imagine how much I have learned with the people I have interacted
Absolutely.
With. So Vijay, you know, English, Hindi, Nepali, Gujarati, French, and I don't know how many other languages you know. So how do you get inspired to learn so many languages? And as we know, when you started your journey in the beginning, yes, of course, I have heard your initial conversation also where you used to be stuck in between or get stammered in between. But right now, so fluently you are speaking. So how do you work on that? How do you improve?
I understand a bit of Gujarati, but French, you know, I don't understand French, or I just got into this app called Duolingo. I think I was just learning. I was trying to learn French, which I never got to learn French. But that remained on LinkedIn, and a lot of people asked me like, "Hey, I see that you know French, but I clearly don't." Because I think it was 2011-12 when I was just Duolingo, I downloaded it on my phone and I said like, okay, if I were to learn one language, then what would that be? And I'm like, oh, you know, French would be interesting. And that's how I tried. And I think I did that for a couple of weeks and then I gave up on that. So Gujarati, I was in Vadodara for 3 months. And when I was in Vadodara, it seemed like very easy language to learn and a fun language to learn. So when I was there, I tried to, at least I now understand, not obviously completely, but I understand Gujarati and I can read Gujarati to certain extent. And it was like that, those 3 months when I was there, and I was like, hey, you know what? I think this would be fun thing to do on the side of, I was there for my job training when I was, working for a pharmaceutical company. I was there for a training at the training center that they have in Vadodara. So when I was there, I was like, I think this would be, you know, fun thing to do on the side. And, you know, I always love doing something on the side, exploring some new hobby or passion or something. And podcast was one of those later, right, when I came, I started working at the job, and podcasting was something that I started taking on the side, right? So yeah, I think that's how I got into this thing about Gujarati, right? So clearly I those two extra languages that you see, Gujarati and French, obviously not a pro at it, but, you know, it's just that, like, I get curious about the language and I just, try and see if I can at least get to the point where I can understand what people are saying. And if I can read the hoarding boards to mm-hmm. know that, you know, what shop is this and, you know, what is this all about? So yeah.
And what about Nepali?
So I come from Nepal. I'm originally from Nepal. My parents, my parents are from Nepal. And I've studied till my 12th in Nepal. So that's why, you know, that's my mother tongue. I know Nepali and Hindi, obviously, because I'm in Delhi. And fun story, when I came here in 2010, I guess for the first time when I came to Delhi, you know, my college was in Haryana. Okay. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends back home in Nepal, they would watch these Hindi movies and, you know, listen to Hindi music, Bollywood songs and movies and stuff like that. But I was not much into that. So I would not even understand Hindi properly. And here I was in Haryana. And if the listeners know the kind of tone that people use in Haryana. So by the way, I've lived there for 4 years of my college time. You know, even though on the outside they appear like not very polite, kind people, but, you know, I have found like some of the most amazing people who are my friends, you know, in Haryana. The kindness hidden behind that tone of the voice, which a lot of people mistaken as being rude. So there I was, and I thought, like, you know, when people were just speaking normally, and I'm like, why is this guy scolding me? Why is this guy angry with me? Because I couldn't understand it. But yeah, I understand a bit of Haryanvi as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. So you've come a really very long way, Vijay, from where you have started. And your podcast, The Inspiring Talk, has already given 118 episodes by now. You have met and interviewed such great personalities and life coaches like Siddharth Malhotra, Raj Shimani, Captain Nick, Dr. Shefali, Swami Mukundanand, whom like I consider my virtual guru, my Drona guru. And can't name them all, as they all are unique and giving me goosebumps when I am talking about them. Now, if I ask you, what are the most important things that you have learned? It will be a silly question, as all of them would have left you with so many worthy moments. So my question is, how do you manage your work, your connection and your values, and just go ahead meeting all these kind of incredible people?
So I think one of the things that I ask people to, even when they want to start their own podcast or even when you want to do something else, one thing that starts for me is by having the clear answer to why I want to do it, right? And that's true for every single thing that I do, you know, in my life, right? So if I do not have a stronger answer to why I want to do it, and I don't think it's worth my time, efforts, and energy, because I'm not 100% into it, right? So having that clarity always helps. So for instance, in the case of podcast, my why is I want to learn from these people, learn from their journey, and maybe pick a few things, a few nuggets mm-hmm. from their life and implement those lessons in my own life and try and help myself become a little better in those conversations, right? And that is something that inspires me to go out and have conversation with people every single week, where it's me learning from them, from these people, me getting this one-on-one coaching time at no cost at all, where I'm asking every question that I have to them so that they can answer, right? So if I want to learn about meditation, what I did, I use this app called Insight Timer to meditate, right? And one of the teachers on the Insight Timer that I really genuinely appreciate is called David G. This is the guy who is in US, you know, based in US, and he has mastered the meditation. And I practiced his meditation, the guided meditation practices that's there on the app. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I have so many questions about meditation. And now I need to bring David G on my podcast and ask him all these questions that I have about meditation, all these silly, stupid questions that I have about meditation. Like, hey, David G, when I'm meditating, I feel sleepy. Is that okay? When I'm meditating, I feel like I'm not going deep into it. You know, is that okay? And, you know, ask all the stupid, silly questions that I have about meditation. And, you know, and these people come on the show and answer it. And it so happens that a lot of my listeners do have the similar questions and they resonate with the questions, right? So I think all of the things that you want to do or that I do in my life, whether that's work, whether networking with people or whether managing the podcast and all of that, it boils down to why I want to do it, right? So the podcast that I do, the Inspiring Talk, I want to do because I want to learn from these people. The company that I run, Wine Studio, is because I want to tell not only, you know, the story and inspire using the, you know, with the Inspiring Talk, but also I want to educate people. I also want people to, you know, learn from other people's journey where they get hope from the podcast that we do around, you know, critical illness survivors called Can Inspire, which is a podcast where we talk about the, you know, people who have battled or struggled critical illnesses like cancer and autoimmune diseases and so on and so forth, so that when people listen to that, they feel that there is a community out there and there are people who are going through the same. I want people to laugh as well, so that's why you do a podcast called Kya Swad Hai, which is a podcast about food where, you know, where we talk everything about food, right? So we do a podcast on Gita called, you know, Practically Gita, where we bring the practical insights from Bhagavad Gita and share it with the people, and people say that, oh my God, this is such a beautiful podcast. We love listening to it, right? I want also to explore the fictional world and give people, you know, make people experience the audio. That's why we create Hills of the Pandavas, which is audio fiction series with a lot of sound effects and background noise. Think about it as Lord of the Rings on audio set in the Indian context, where it's an Indian characters, right? So the whole thing is like, you know, I just want to share message, tell stories to the people so that we can help them, you know, in any possible way. That's why I do, you know, what I do at Wine Studio, right? Now, I want to help people and I want people to succeed. I want people to have some sort of result, you know, help them move a step further in whatever possible way. And that's why I teach and I also that's a way for me to, when I teach people, that's also, you know, that's where I feel most satisfied because, you know, I feel that impact right there and then when I'm sharing something and, you know, to see someone's eyes sparkle because I share something which is extremely valuable to them. That's such a pure bliss. And just try doing that. Like when you know something, when you have, when you think like you have knowledge about something, just go and share it with someone who would value that. You will see their eyes lit. And that, you know, really makes me happy. So I think, you know, just having the clarity of why you want to do certain thing, you know, really helps you juggle between all these different things. And at the end of the day, we all are trying to kind of, you know, get through the life and try and have more deeper understanding about life. So
that's really like the way you are sharing your journey and your learnings with others and inspire others. Like you talked about all the other things and I was very much inquisitive about what you are doing about Gita and meditation. And I need to go through them and listen to them as early as I can.
Absolutely.
There is a saying, Nindak Nere Rakhi Aangan Kuti Chabai, Bin Sabun Pani Bina Nirmal Kare Suhai. So you have also talked about it and you say that you need to learn from the critics because they are our best teachers, like our mistakes. And everyone has got a unique way of handling them. How do you deal with them?
It mattered a lot to me earlier where every single, you know, negative comment, every single person who would say bad thing about you on the internet, because in the internet era, you can say anything to anyone hidden behind your keyboards, which is very easy. And oftentimes we put things out there on the internet, which we would not say on someone's face. Like if we were standing facing each other, we might, you know, we would never say those kind of things to each other. You know, there are few realizations that I've had. And also, you know, I've asked that question a lot because I was struggling with a lot of criticism. And I asked that question with a lot of my guests, say, how did you deal with criticism? And I think I just lost the count of the number of people whom I have asked that question. And how do you deal with criticism? How do you deal with hate and so on and so forth? And you know, the simple understanding that number one is the people who are trying to hurt you, or the people who are saying really mean things to you, it's not about you at all. There is something that's going on. There is something wrong that's going on in their life. And all they need is a bit of a love and a bit of a kindness in their life, right? So you can never pour something which you don't have. If you pour hate, then you have hate. That's why you are pouring hate. If you have, greed, then that's when you will be. That's when you will pour out the greed. When you have arrogance, then that's when you will, share the arrogance. Like for instance, like yesterday itself. So I, my office is nearby. So I take this auto to my office, right? And here is this guy, the auto driver. We went to the office, and I didn't have the exact change for him, and he just went fierce, like, "Hey, you don't even have a change." And I'm like, "Oh, wait, bro, why?" And you know, it's not that, you know, he is angry at me or that moment, even though he's pouring that out, but that should not impact me because it's not about me. It's something that he's dealing on his own life.
Wow, sir.
And he's bursting that anger to someone else. And when you So one part is like just having that understanding that the person is going through something in their life. So it's nothing about you because that person doesn't know. First and second time, usually the people, what they do is they try and judge you when they see you for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens a lot on the internet. When they see you for the first time, they don't know the kind of work that you are doing. They don't know the kind of person that you are. They don't know your part of story.
Yes.
And when they don't know your part of story, who you are, what's been your journey like, and then that person saying something to you, and I don't know, like, how should that even matter to, you know, us, right? And I think that, and the what I tell when I see some really bad comments about me is, you know what, my friend, you know, you just don't know my journey. You don't know my part of the, you know, story. Having that a little bit of a kindness really goes a long, long way. And also just understanding that, you know, and for the people before saying something about anyone, just understand that not all of us have the same story and same journey and same leverage that we, you know, that some people might have, right? So some people have, you know, really different stories. They might have come, you know, you just don't know where that person maybe started, right? So I think the other thing is, like, one thing is obviously feeling, having this feeling of love and kindness for the person, because you can only pour out what you have. Second is telling yourself that, hey, you know what? This person just encountered me like 2 minutes ago on Instagram. And then now here's this hate comment. Now, what can you know about someone by looking at their picture or looking at their post on Instagram in 2 minutes? And you decide to make a statement about that person, decide to take out that hate comment, right? You just don't know that. Then for me, then you should say, hey, you know what? You just don't know me, right? So that's, that's second. And the third one is, which takes a little longer to build, which is building this very powerful shield where where someone else just can't control your emotions.
Okay.
And just building that wall where not everything gets inside you, where not Ottawala getting angry on you triggers your anger. Right.
Yes, sir.
So I could have just gone back and fought with him.
Yeah.
But then you can say, like, I decide to choose peace.
Yeah.
And I don't know, who said this, but if you were given a choice to become right or become kind, always pick kind. And for me, if you are always given a choice to win the argument or your mental peace, just go for your peace. And again, right. I think it was Seth Godin who said, if it costs your peace, it's not worth it. So I always remind myself that when I'm getting into any of this thing, is it going to cost my peace? And if the answer is like, hey, you know what? Yeah, it might impact my internal peace and internal balance. Then I'm like out. I don't have to argue. I don't have to fight. I don't have to put anything out. I don't have to even defend myself. Why should I defend when you are not in the position where you want to even listen to my point of view? Because you are saying because you want to say it, not because you want to understand others' viewpoint. Then what's the use of me trying to defend it? I'll just rather shut my mouth and let you say what you want to say, right? So I think that third thing about choosing peace over anything else really keeps you at peace. And, you know, people have barely seen me, angry. Even like my co-workers or the colleagues, the people who work with us say that, you know, we have never seen you angry. And even if that happens, like it's just for like a few seconds. And then I just become self-aware that, oh, you know what? You can take it easy. It's not something that, you know, everything's going to finish up right.
I have seen you, sir, in the like Tuesday's class when you handle the questions from all your students. At that time, the same question is repeated again and again by several participants. And you don't get angry so coolly. And I was surprised. Being a teacher, sometimes we also lose that control. But so many people are asking you the same question in messages and again coming up and asking that thing. But you don't lose your temper and so politely say,
You know, that in the hindsight, if you think about it from my perspective, it's teaching me patience.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I mean, it's teaching me like, how do you be patient? How do you listen to the other person so that you can better listen to the person and try and serve the other person, right? So I think that's why I told, like, you know, the building the shield and not letting anything impact you takes a lot of time and efforts and conscious effort, where being conscious at that very moment that, oh, you know, damn, I know I can't. You know, be angry, or I can't, you know, put this out.
That's really, like, we all need to learn from you. Even I am a teacher, but yes, of course, we do agree that when the students don't listen to us, we are telling the same thing again and again, and they come up saying that we couldn't do it. Then we feel very frustrated. What have I done then in the whole class?
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you know, like the example of, you know, the guy yesterday just, you know, pouring his anger on me, that could have completely ruined my day. But it just ended right there. The moment that person went off, I completely cut off from that event, because you were able to separate that, right? You know, that's his anger. I don't have to take it and feel bad about it. Right?
That's a great example.
A lot of times that's what we do, right? When somebody comes all fired up and pour their anger on you, and then you are spoiled for the day. And you're like, damn. How can he say that to me? Who the hell is he to tell that? You know, how dare he say that? And then you get into fight, and you know, there's no end to that. Like, peace over being right. That's my mantra.
A great lesson, sir, for all of us. Now, like, if you get a chance, sir, like you are taking interview from all the people all over the world. Now, if you get a chance, like a kind of hypothetical question, where you get back into the past and take the interview of three personalities, which would be the three personalities you would choose to take an interview?
Okay, from the history, you mean?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's a really interesting one. So I think, you know, I would go back and, you know, maybe interview Nelson Mandela. Because we are talking about the similar context of, like, you know, choosing love over anything else and not choosing hate. And I think he is the example, or he is the person who you see, like, you know, being locked up for so many years. And even after coming out, you know, he choosing the love over anything else, not having any kind of anger on his mind. How was it possible after going through so much of, you know, travel for so many, 30 years in prison and going through so much of pain and suffering, and then coming out and still pouring out love for everyone else. So I think, you know, that would be a really interesting one, to kind of, you know, learn on how he even, you know, thought about it, right? So that would be an interesting one. The second one that, you know, I would probably love to interview is Mahatma Gandhi. And the reason that I want to interview is because the whole thing about inspiring and influencing people, and while you being humble, grounded person, and being a person and where people actually followed your message and decided to take action by following your message, creating the movement of the scale that he was able to do, right? And you know, how did he think about it? Like, how did he manage to do that? How did he manage to inspire people to the level that, you know, everybody, you know, and a lot of people were willing to give their life for that? And I think, you know, that is what I call a true influencer, and a lot of people wearing few fancy, clothes and calling themselves influencers should definitely look at, you know, somebody like Mahatma Gandhi, the real life influencer, where people are willing to give their life, for this person's message and what he believed in, right?
Right.
Not necessarily what he first believed in was something that everybody believed in, right?
Mm.
When they got his message, that's when they started believing in the message that, or the vision that he had, right? And where that kind of message or the vision kind of comes in, right? So that's the second person. And the third one would be the Sir Edmund Hillary, the person who submitted the Mount Everest. Why? What is it that you wanted to prove by climbing the mountains? Like what drives you to just go on these, adventures, which was, if you think about it, was absolutely not necessary for you to go out and explore and, just summit to the Mount Everest and say that, I'm just going to climb the Mount Everest and, do this mountain, right? And why? what was it that, what was the point that you were trying to make? And now when you look at it, the biggest lesson that we can take is, in essence, maybe he was trying to prove to the world that, we all have this Mount Everest. Not necessarily the physical one, but we all have this Mount Everest that we have to climb, right? Some of us have to deal with the bad relationship or maybe the finance or whatever we are struggling with. Those are our Mount Everest. Then maybe, that is something that he wanted to tell us that, there is nothing, that you can't conquer. You can even conquer the biggest mountain or the highest mountain in the entire world. Maybe that was his message. I want to know, what is your message? What is it that you want to, wanted to tell to people? I think those would be three people, three interesting questions, people where I would love to probably learn from.
Nelson Mandela, Mahatma Gandhi and Hillary. So that's again, your list is and amazing, and you have already given the lessons from the three great personalities of the world, not just in our country. Yes, of course, Tenzing and Hillary, when they conquered the Mount Everest, or Nelson Mandela, all their stories we are teaching in the schools and colleges as well. Now, I have asked you so many questions by now. Now, there might be something that I have missed and you think that it would be very important to discuss. So what will be that one question you think that I have missed?
I don't think you have missed any question. You have you've been a great interviewer, so you have learned so much, which is awesome. So I don't know, I often ask that question to people, and the answer that I hate is when my guest says that, I don't think that you have missed any question, right? And I think now I'm being that guest where I'm like, I don't think, Anupama, you have missed any
thank you so
any
much
question.
It's a kind of blessing, because when I started the interview, it was a kind of test for me. I'm taking the interview of that person who has taught me how to take interview. And then if I make any mistake, he will tell me, oh, you didn't do that.
No, that's completely fine. So yeah, I think, I don't think there's anything else, anything that you missed. We spoke a lot.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you. It was great interacting with you and learning from you, from your history again, revising your inspiring talk and finding out how you have reached over here. And at the end, before ending this conversation, I would request you to share any three values and lessons. Already you have shared so many, but any three at the end for our listeners that you have learned in your life, and they should also learn and keep on maintaining that.
So when I look back at my life, I try and see what are possibly those few things that might have helped me, in my journey. And three things stands out. And the first one is focusing on one thing. Oftentimes what we do is we want to do everything. For instance, people might want to do podcasts, they want to do YouTube, they want to do blog, they want to do Instagram, they want to do Clubhouse, they want to do we want everything at once.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's not how it works.
Yes.
All you need to do is just pick one thing and stay true to that thing. Whatever it is, you want to dance, just pick that one thing and stay true to it for at least a few years, at least a couple of years. Give it time. Because for anything to good happen, it takes time. The only thing that happens in 30 minutes is your Zomato delivery, okay? So nothing big happens in 30 minutes. You can't turn your life by doing something for 3 days and thinking that, hey, you know what? It's going to, not even a month, not even a two. Sometimes things take years. So I would say just pick one thing and stay true to that thing at least for a couple of years, that's when you will start seeing, you know, some positive result, because you will also start getting better when you do things, right? You said like you struggled a lot with interviewing. So the way I coped with that is like showing up every single week and just having conversation. That's how you become better, which is just by doing more of it, right? So that would be my first one. And when I look at my own journey, I think that has really helped me, which is just staying true to one thing and not getting, distracted by the shiny toys that's out there, which is like, there's always going to be one new things that's going to be there. So stay true to something that you genuinely believe in, at least for a few years, so that you can start seeing some results. That's first.
Yes,
the second one is network. And this is something which is very common. A lot of people advise that, you know, your network is net worth, which genuinely is. And spend a lot of time in getting to know people, building that connection. And the common mistake that people make when it comes to networking is they network with intent. If I have to go and talk to Anupam, then I need to figure out what is it that Anupam can possibly help me with, and then just only talk with her. Or if I want to go and talk to Bijay, this guy can help me with this. That's why I need to network with them, right? When we do that with intention, then that's not networking.
Right.
You are looking at it from the transaction point of view, where you want something from the person. But the give and take, right? But the true networking happens when you genuinely are interested in what the person is doing. And if you can help that person in any possible way, without thinking how that person can help you in the future, right? And if you do that, and this is something that I learned beautiful from, you know, one of my guests a few days back. We were talking about the networking, and he said this beautiful thing. What is networking? In essence, it's just like you connecting one dots and seeing where that dots fit in.
Okay.
And for you to connect these dots, one dot with another, you should have collected enough dots. Then only you will be able to connect these dots. If you have not collected enough dots, which means if you have not put, you know, effort in making, in collecting or knowing this many peoples, then you will not be able to make those connections with these dots. You never know where these people can possibly help you, right? So just genuinely try and be in touch with people, genuinely try and serve people without expecting anything. You never know how that thing can fit in something that you might do in future. You never know, even though it's not clear today, right? So I think, and that really helps. And if one thing that has helped me become who I am, it's just these people whom I have networked with. As simple as that. Simple is that. Podcast is the medium. But what actually happened behind is I was networking with these people who came on my show as guests. And then, you know, we collaborated on something. We started businesses together. You know, they came up to me with opportunity to speak. And that gives me opportunities over and over again. But did I go and ask them right after our interview saying that, hey, now that I have interviewed you, you have to give me a speaking gig? Nobody would do that, right? But then genuinely try to build that friendship and network, and that really helps, right? So that's the second one. The third one, and a very important one, is don't let someone else's success template overwhelm you. Because each one of us have our own success templates. And now that you have interviewed so many people on your show, you must have seen that every single person thinks differently, and the way they have reached to success is totally different, right?
Yes,
so, you know, I always tell this, like the person who is the, like you mentioned about Swami Mukundananda, the spiritual leader whom I interviewed on my podcast, all he wants in his life is to help more and more people become spiritually awakened, more and more people get into spirituality. That's his definition of success. Now, when I interviewed this person who has summited Mount Everest and asked him, what's your definition of success? For him, the way he thinks about success is he wants to go on a next adventure. He wants to climb next mountain. That's his definition of success. When I interviewed billionaire and asked him, like, hey, what's your definition of success? Then his definition of success is I want to impact and help as many people as possible with my product and service and maybe make more so that he can do more and serve more people. That's his definition of success, right? So then that also tells me that there is not one right way or one way to succeed. And you don't have to follow anyone else's success template. You can create your own success template.
Right.
And it might be the case that there is no one who might have walked that path before you, which is totally fine. Or there might be very few people who have walked that path. It's totally fine. Or there are so many people who have already gone through that path. But as long as you can resonate with that and you think that, this looks like my success template, this is my template, then go for it. You know, you don't have to like just buy into this idea of this is what success looks like. 1 million followers on Instagram, or vacation every single month. You know, extravaganza parties, or these pictures on beach with this water, and having this life of just going on these flights, getting on a flight every single week. Because I see all of that on Instagram, that should be my success as well. I should be that one as well. Not necessarily. Like, you know, somebody has got this fancy for cars. Not necessarily you have that, right? You maybe you think differently. And I think, you know, those would be like few lessons that I would say, which, you know, I've kind of learned in my journey.
Yeah. So like the three values you have talked about, I feel that in those you have said about all the success formulas, what people talk. And also, I like you said about the first point where you need to be focused. You need to choose that one thing where you want to excel rather than getting into so many things and getting distracted all the time. So just get focused. But the second answer, what you have given, sir, making that your network, proper network, and that answers to the question of most of your students when they ask, how do you reach people? How do you reach people? It's not like you jump into someone and say that, hey, I want to meet you. I want to get this thing from you. This is a genuine way of meeting people. Like, as I said, you said, being your student, maybe like minds attract together. That's the reason I'm also like a great follower of Mukundananji, the way he talks about. And he is a person from IIT and IIM. And then he has got into this. So this is again incredible, the way even
Gauranga Das.
So this answers your question of all the people who ask you that how to make proper networking. And at the end, when you said, like, everyone has different journey, so you cannot compare yourself with others. Again, Mukundan and Swami was having a conversation with Boman Irani, and he asked him, how do you consider yourself as successful? Because earlier you was a waiter and now you are a really successful actor. So he said, I was a successful waiter as well. So when I was a waiter, I was a successful man at that time, and I wanted to be the best waiter in the world.
Yeah.
So that's the thing which we need to have in our mind. And thank you so much, sir, for chunking down all the success formulas and laying it for all the listeners. Whoever listens, I feel they will be blessed and they will thank you again and again.
Thank you, Anupam. Thank you so much for having me here. And I really enjoyed this conversation with you and really appreciate everything that you are doing and all the actions that you are taking. Thank you so much for sharing knowledge and wisdom with the listeners and helping world move forward in your own way by sharing these insights and wisdom. And I'm sure you are going to be impacting so many lives going forward. All the best, and thanks again.
Thank you so much, sir, again, and I'm really very, very grateful to you for this. Thank you, sir.